Morning. Today's daf and brachos nun beis. We are at the Gemara on nun alpha mid beis. We started the parak of the Masechta yesterday. Dvarim shebein shammai beis ol besuda. Things that are different between beis shammai beis ol as it relates to a meal. So the Mishnah went yesterday in the introduction to the eighth parak. We went through the entire Mishnah. As I mentioned yesterday, it's a short parak. We are going to Mirzah Shem be finished with the parak tomorrow. We are going to go through various disputes that exist between beis shammai and beis ol that occur at a meal. Many of them, most of them, I should say, are halachic in nature. I mean, every one of them is halachic in nature, but in terms of what is exactly what they're disputing, what they're debating about, are going to be halachic principles. Today, over the course of today, in terms of discussing a number of the machloksim, we're going to see that it really revolves around Tumat Tahara. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were really debating heavily the issues of Tumat Tahara. We saw this in the beginning of Shabbos, and we're going to see this here today in the eighth parak of the Masechta. So with that stated, we are going to be going over all eight in detail. Yesterday, I ran through them very superficially, but today, we're going to be able to spend time on each one of them. So I'm not going to go over each all eight now because we're going to be doing so in the course of the Gemara. I went through the Mishnah. I counted eight. I numbered eight. And so here we are at number one. Number one, Tana Rabbanan, we are going to be starting the Gemara with a Braisa. Dvarim shebein beis shammai beis ol besuda. Things that are different between beis shammai and beis ol at a meal. Omer mevarech al yom. I'm sorry. Beis shammai omer mevarech al yom v'achar kach mevarech al yayin. So here's the order. The order is going to be yom yayin. First, you make a kiddush on the day, and then you make a bor pri hagafen. As I mentioned yesterday, but let's reiterate: when you're making kiddush, so what is our order? Our order is yain kiddush. Right? First, we make a bor pri hagafen, then we start with kiddush. As I mentioned yesterday, vayechulu was added on at a later point in time. The Gemara never makes a reference to vayechulu as a paragraph. Good, but that's part of our nosach. Fine, but for the purposes of understanding the Mishnah, ignore vayechulu. So now we're just looking at two things. We're looking at the bracha of bor pri hagafen, followed then by kiddush. Now we know that kiddush has to be made over a cup of wine. That part's clear. Here's the part that's not clear. What is my order? Do I first make the guffin, then the kiddush, or do I see the opposite? Now, without knowing anything, by the way, although, again, we are all trained, and this is something that we're schooled in very well because we make kiddush every Friday night. But if I didn't know anything and I had a guess in terms of which way to go, I would have put the bor pri hagafen after the kiddush. Consider, what do we do after every time we have to make a bracha, a birchas hanenin? We drink it right away. So I would have suggested make kiddush and then make a bor pri hagafen and then drink the wine. But of course, that's not what we do. But now the Gemara gives us the definitions of the debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So according to Beis Shammai, so first you say kiddush, then you say a bor pri hagafen. Shayom gorim leyan shiavo, because the day is causing the wine to come. Meaning that in terms of primacy, let's take a look. What happens? First Shabbos comes, and I'm going to make Kiddush. So since Shabbos comes first, so therefore the bracha of Kiddush should come first, which obviously is the sanctification of Shabbos. Ukvar Kiddush Hayom. I'm sorry. The Aliyan Shayom Goren Liyan Shiavo. Ukvar Kiddush Hayom. The Adan Yayin Loba. The day's been sanctified, and the wine hasn't necessarily come yet. So this speaks to the idea that first Kiddush and then wine. So, and Beis Hillel says, nope, let's flip it around. First, let's make a bor pri hagafen, then we'll make kiddush. Why? Shayayin garim lekedusha shetayamer. Because in terms of saying kiddush, so what do? First, I hold up a cup of wine, then I make kiddush. I can't make kiddush without a cup of wine. You have to make a kiddush over something. Now, it is true, you can make kiddush over bread. Right. That the Gemara in Pesachim has introduced us to. But nevertheless, in terms of what's primary is wine. And so, therefore, kiddush is only said over a cup of wine. Davar acher, and on top of that, berchus yayin tadir, berchus hayomina tadira. And also, Beis Hillel employs the argument of tadir. Tadir v'sheinu tadir, tadir kodem. So, whichever comes with more regularity is going to take precedence. So, over here, that also is going to be a determining factor. That first, the bor pri hagafen, which obviously is said much more frequently. You have a cup of wine every day. Kiddush only comes once a week. So, obviously, wine is more tadir. And then the braisa ends off, somewhat oddly, by saying, oh, and by the way, the halacha falls like Beis Hillel. So we're going to come back to that oddity in just a moment. Anyway, so the Gemara discusses a couple of points. My davar acher. The Gemara is first bothered by Beis Hillel giving two reasons. Meaning, for Beis Hillel, one reason would be enough, wouldn't it? So the Gemara says, v'chite ma'asim tarte v'hachachada. So the Gemara says, well, no, because Beis Shammai, when he rolled out his position, so he gave out two reasons. And if Beis Hillel would have only stopped at one reason, so we would have two reasons versus one reasons. So hachinami tarti ninu, birchas hayan tadir, birchas yamin tadir, tadir v'shenu tadir, tadir kodim. So by Beis Hillel rolling out a second reason, so now he's matching Beis Shammai in terms of number of arguments to make. So Beis Shammai has two arguments, Beis Hillel also has two arguments, fine. Now, as far as the halacha being like Beisil, why did the Braisa end off that way? Answers the Gemara, the Hanafka Baskol. So, first of all, we have a Baskol that came out. The Baskol came out and told us that the halacha falls like Beisilah. So, Ibai Semakodim Baskol. So, the Gemara gives the answers, the standard answers that are given to this question. Right? You're going to see the similar type Gemara in terms of how to relate to the Baskol. So, one, it could be that the Braisa was authored and so to say, codified. Not codified, but the Braisa was said over before the Baskol came out. That's one possibility. That's why the Braisa has to go out of its way to say that the Halacha falls like Beisil Ibai Semar, or alternatively, La'achar Baskol, could be that it's after the Baskol. V'Rebbe Yoshua Damer Imashkechem Baskol. And it could subscribe to the viewpoint of Rebbe Yoshua, which is that we pay no mind to a Baskol. That's, of course, based on the Gemara Bam Metzia regarding Tanur Dachnai. Okay, see the Gemara over there for the discussion of whether or not we give any attention to the Baskol or we do not give any attention to the Baskol. Okay.
But the Shema is really one reason. It's not really two.
The Gemara breaks it up into two. I do hear your point, but the Gemara certainly breaks it up into two. Okay. With that state of Isavri Beishamai. Okay, so we are right now at a better understanding of the machlok between Beishamai and Beisil regarding Kiddush. Should it be wine Kiddush, Kiddush wine? Beishamai says it should be Kiddush wine. Beisil says it should be wine Kiddush. Right. It should be wine Kiddush, and the halacha falls like Beisil. And this is something we all knew, but now we understand the svaras that are built into it. Visavri Beishamai deberchos hayam adifa v'atayin. The Gemara says, now here in Beishamai, a bit confusing. Because we're going to see that Beis Shammai at the end of Shabbos has it all flipped around, where wine is not coming first, but wine is rather coming last. And where do we find this? So we find this in the following. V'hatayim will learn the following brisa. We are on the top of Nun Beis Amud Aleph, three lines down. Hanichlas the Beis Amud Motzei Shabbos. So you come home and from Shul on Motzei Shabbos. Mevarich al Hayayin al Amor v'al Besamim v'Arkachach Omer Havdala. So what should be the order? The order should be first wine, then fire, then besamim, and then afterwards havdalah. Now, what if you only have one cup? So in other words, so you don't have the luxury of being able to bench over a cup of wine and make havdalah. So what are you going to do? You're going to bundle. You're going to roll over the benching into your havdalah. In a moment, I'm going to address the question of eating without having made havdalah first. We'll come back to that in just a moment. So what do you do? Menichu l'achar hamazon. So what you're going to do now is that you're going to leave over the cup of wine until after you eat, meaning first you're going to eat. And now everything gets literally chained together, linked together. And here's how it's going to be. Well, in a moment, we're going to see how it's going to be. Now, this is a braisa, and let's just first go through the flow of the Gemara, and then I'll come back and I'll address some basic questions. And that is right now this braisa. Now, we haven't given authorship to this braisa. So the idea that this brisa belongs to Beis Shammai is something that we're assuming. In a moment, we're going to prove that this brisa is like Beis Shammai. But right now, let's work with the assumption. If this brisa is like Beis Shammai, so what did we just need together? It's Yayin, Ma'or, Besamim, and then Havdalah. Wine comes all the way at the front end. And by Kiddush, Beis Shammai said just the opposite. That first it's Kiddush, then it's wine. So what just happened over here? Now, Vahami, my... Just 1 second. Now, first of all, the assumption that this brisa belongs to Beis Shammai. How do I know that? Dilma Beis Hillel he. Now, could be that it's Beis Hillel, lo sakadach. The Gemara says no. It's just implausible. I'll tell you why. Diktani ma'or v'acharkach besamim. Because look up at the brisa that we just did together. It said fire, then besamim. Man shamim le'dis le'hai svar Beis Shammai. So I know that that belongs to Beis Shammai. Ditanya, and here I'm going to quote another brisa, Tosefta, that's going to speak to this idea really clearly. I'm Rav Yehuda lo nechluku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel ala mazon shebetchil v'al avdala shebesof. According to Rav Yehuda, now this is where we have a classic presentation of a debate within a debate. Meaning we know we have a machlok Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, the order. Now what was the machlok Beis Shammai Beis Hillel? So that too is now debated. Where we have later Tanayim, Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir, each one giving their version of what the debate was. So, okay, so compounded debates, something that we see all the time throughout Shas. So here's an example. So according to Rav Yehuda, this is his version of the debate. Lo nechlu Beis Shammai Beis Hillel al hamazon shebetchila. So first, it's mazon, meaning you bench. Ve'al havdala shebesof, and in terms of havdala that comes at the end. And ama nechlu, what's the only debate is al amor ve'al besamim. The order of the in between, the moor and besamim. Beis Shammai armim moor v'acharkach besamim Beis Hillel armim besamim v'acharkach moor. And so the debate is whether the moor comes before besamim or besamim comes before moor. We have clearly in this brisa, at least according to Rav Yehuda's version, we have clearly Beis Shammai lined up with the position that Maor followed them by Besamim. So going to the brisa on the top of the Amud, which is Maor followed by Besamim, so you see clearly that that is the opinion of Beis Shammai. The author of the brisa is Beis Shammai, which only reinforces our original question, which is, how is Beis Shammai having Yain come on the front end? Shouldn't he want Yain to come in the back end? Like, just like by Kiddush. So the Gemara says, well, let's remind each other that there are two versions of the debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Right now, you're focusing on Rabbi Yehuda's version of the debate. Why not focus on Rabbi Meir's version of the debate? So the Gemara says, lo sakadacha. The Gemara says, no, not tenable. Why diktani hacha b'masisa? Because let's take a look at Rabbi Meir's version of the debate. And here we go back to our Mishnah. In our Mishnah yesterday, we saw, now, yesterday we didn't know that it was Rabbi Meir's version of the debate. We just read it as the Mishnah. It's Rabbi Meir's version of the debate. We know, Stam Mishnah k'Rabbi Meir, that whenever we have anonymous Mishnahs, I know it's not anonymous, but when we have a Mishnah, we generally assign it to Rabbi Meir. So our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir. And what did we learn yesterday? And the Gemara here just quotes the Mishnah that we learned yesterday. Beis Shammai Omrim, Ner Mazon, Besamim v'Havdalah. So Beis Shammai says, first fire, then Birkas HaMazon, then Besamim, then Havdalah. Beis Hillel Omrim, Ner Besamim, Mazon v'Havdalah. So, and according to Beis Hillel, it's Ner Besamim, Mazon v'Havdalah. Fine. So a debate, another version of the debate. The Hasam bebraisa katani im ein lo alakos echa minichol acher mazon umishashin kulan laacharav shma minad de beishamehi va'aliba de Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if you look back at the braisa, clearly the braisa is operating with not Reb Meir's version, but clearly it's operating with Rav Yehuda's version, because the braisa said that if there's only one cup, so then what's going to be the order? So the order is going to be according to the Bryce's version, it's going to be Yayin, Maor, Besamim, and Havdalah, just like we saw in the Bryce. So Shmamina de Beishamihi Valiba de Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so far, all that work got us to the following point. We now know that the Bryce cite on the top of the Amud, starting three lines down, so even though it's anonymous, it's not anonymous. We know it's Beishamai, and we know it's Rabbi Yehuda's version of Beishamai. And so now let's reset the question. The question now is, I don't understand. What's the difference between Kiddush and Havdalah? By Kiddush, according to Beis Shammai, it's first Kiddush Hayom, then Yayin. By Havdalah, according to Beis Shammai, it's first Yayin, and then Havdalah. Why are the orders flipped? So, I know it's different. The Gemara is going to say it's different, but we're just setting up the question. Kasha. So the Gemara says, now it's difficult. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you the difference. The difference is, when we're talking about entering into the day versus exiting the day. Iyula yom kama de mekadmina le adif, afuki yom kama de ma'achrin le adif, kehech de lalav elan kemasui. So the Gemara here gives us a fundamental principle. Now, admittedly, by the way, the fundamental principle is plugged into Beis Shammai, but still, the principle is true. Even though we're only using it right now to explain the Shita of Beis Shammai, which is not an accepted position. But still, the principle is true. And that is, we want more Shabbos. We want more Shabbos on the front end, more Shabbos on the back end. And so therefore, whatever gets us more Shabbos, that's preferable. So over on the front end, so between Kiddush and Yayin, so when does Shabbos come? Now, this is a funny discussion because Shabbos comes when Shabbos comes, meaning when the sun sets, Shabbos has just been here. But in terms of our recognition of Shabbos, so when does it come? Kiddush. So when we're Mekadesh Shabbos, so therefore we now have a recognition of Shabbos, so Shabbos comes with the onset of Kiddush. So if it's a choice between making a bar prayer guffin and Kiddush, so you first want to make Kiddush, that brings in Shabbos earlier. Admittedly, we're talking about seconds earlier, but still, the principle's telling us Kiddush should come before Yayin. Now let's go to the back end of Shabbos. So again, when does Shabbos end? Again, same discussion. Shabbos ends when Shabbos ends, meaning when it's nighttime, Shabbos is concluded. But in terms of our recognition of Shabbos ending, signifying the end of Shabbos, so since we want more Shabbos, so we're going to make all the brachas that we need to first, then we're going to make Havdalah because we want Havdalah to be as late as possible. Again, we're talking here about seconds, but still, we want it to be as late as possible. That's why Beis Shammai will first say the bracha on Yayin and then say the bracha on Havdalah. That is the principle in terms of the explanation of the Shita of Beis Shammai.
Good. You could say that,
but that it's true. But it's not going to speak to the order of Havdalah. in terms of what should be the preferable order.
Point, you know,
okay, I hear you. I hear your point. Okay, the Gemara treated us to a big principle. Okay, before we go on in the Gemara, let's wrap up a couple of really fundamental issues over here. Both are going to be presented in Tosfos. I'll present two Tosfos them right now. One is that we just had a lengthy debate in the Gemara regarding what should be the order. Should it be wine followed by Kiddush or Kiddush followed by wine? And by Havdalah, although by Havdalah, interestingly enough, there really is no debate. Meaning there's a sub-debate because there are many things to be said, and so there are debates within what should be the order, more besamim, and if I'm going to throw in benching. So that throws in another wrinkle into the discussion. But by Havdalah, everyone agrees that it's going to be Yain followed then by Havdalah. Anyway, fine. Benching, in other words, we're going to bench over a cup of wine, which actually is coming up in the Gemara right now. We're going to be talking about it in more detail. But we saw this yesterday. You bench over a cup of wine, right? That's we described it yesterday as a kosher bracha. Now, when you bench over a cup of wine, you know there is no debate. Meaning, what are you going to do when you bench over a cup of wine? It's going to be first you bench, and then you make the Birchas Yayin. You don't make the Birchas Yayin, and then you bench. Now, if you're thinking about it, why should that be? Meaning, by Kiddush, what did we just establish? The halacha is like Beis Hillel, which is by Kiddush, it's Yayin, then followed by Kiddush. Meaning that when you are making Kiddush over a cup of wine, you make the Birchas Yayin first, and then you make Kiddush. And by Havdalah, it's the same thing. You are making Havdalah over a cup of wine. So therefore, you make a Bor Pirag Ofen, and then you make Havdalah. So by benching, if I'm benching over a cup of wine, it's a wonderful question, just to think about. If I'm benching over a cup of wine, so shouldn't the order now be, first make a Bor Pirag Ofen, and then bench? Why isn't that the correct order? It's not. Why isn't it the correct order? So Tosfos asks that very question. Tosfos, you're going to find, the first Tosfos on the Amud Vim Tomar. I'm halfway through the Tosfos. The first words of the line are Mechadei Tvei. Tosfos writes, V'im Tomer, Maishan de Kiddush v'Avdala Mevarchin Konam al Yain U'Birchos Amazon Ein Mevarchin Adla Acher Shalosh Brachos. So Tosfos over here succinctly expresses his question. So why, when we bench over a cup of wine, do we first bench and then only afterwards make a Bor Pirag Ofen? Now, intuitively, we all know the answer, but Tosfos over here articulates, V'yishlam Dehechi Navid. So over here, what exactly is going to be the strategy? So im nevarch koden birchas hamazon. So let's say that we're going to first make a bor pirag ofen, right? We're benching over a cup of wine. So birchas Hashem l'kinim echlam bor pirag ofen. And now what? Now you're going to go into benching. What did benching just do? It knocked off your bor pirag ofen. So nevarch koden birchas hamazon im kain ye birchas hamazon hesach hadas. So what Birchas HaMazon now is going to be, obviously, is going to be a break, because Birchas HaMazon it benches over all foods that you ate, and even that cup of wine that you haven't even drank yet, even though you planned on drinking it, but still, it's serving as a Hesach Hadas. Tosfos says, look, by the other brachos, you didn't have an Akira. By Kiddush, you know what's happening. I'm making Kiddush over this cup of wine. I made a bracha on the wine. I'm going to drink from the wine, but in other words, but the wine segues into Kiddush. So therefore, it's perfectly, not only legitimate, it's the correct thing to do, to make a bracha on wine and then go into Kiddush. The Kiddush is not taking me away from the wine. But just the very nature of benching is that it takes me away from the cup of wine. So even though I'm saying I'm benching over the cup of wine, but just practically speaking, what benching facilitates is the end of a meal. And so therefore, I can't make a Bor Pirag Ofen before benching. By definition, I have to make the Bor Pirag Ofen after benching. Just a great question, and just a great way to think about what is the difference between benching over a cup of wine versus making Kiddush over a cup of wine versus making Avdalah over a cup of wine. That's one issue. A second issue, next Tosfos. Second issue is, we're talking now where Shabbos has come to an end, and you only have one cup of wine, and you want to eat a meal. Let's call this meal Shalosh Shittos. It doesn't have to be Shalosh Shittos. It could be that you already had it. Whatever the case is, you want to have a meal, but you also want to make Havdalah. So what are you going to do? So you're going to bundle everything together, right? That's what we learned together. You're bundling everything together. You're going to be benching, making Havdalah over one cup of wine. Again, it doesn't violate the rule of Enosim, Mitzvos, Chavilos. We discussed that earlier in the Masechta. But it seems to be violating another rule, which is, if it's time for Havdalah, so the rule is, you can't eat before you make Havdalah. Mm. So if Shabbos now has come to an end, and there is this cup of wine, and it's the only cup of wine that you have, and you would also want to have a meal, and you want to bench over a cup of wine, so you bundle everything together, hey, can't you not eat until you made Havdalah? And that's Tosfos' question. Second Tosfos. So it could very well be that maybe the rule's wrong. Maybe you are allowed to eat before you make Havdalah. That's what it seems like from our Gemara. But Tosfos says, Tema, Hamemar Bas Tavas. So the Gemara in Pesachim, in Arvei Pesachim, 10th Parak of Pesachim, says that a Memar went to bed fasting. What happened was a Memar didn't have a cup of wine on Motzei Shabbos. And so, what did he do for Malava Malka? Answer, he learned Torah. In other words, he didn't have Malava Malka. Why? Because he didn't make Havdalah. And the Gemara makes a point that he went to bed fasting that night because he didn't make Havdalah. And it sounds pretty clear from that Gemara that you're not allowed to eat until you make Havdalah. Now, Perish Lan Me'una Lefish Ola Yolain Yain La Havdalah Lav. Okay, and Tosfos just explains the Gemara, which I already did. Anyway, V'yesh Lamar, D'shani Amemar, Shaya Savar Shi Yiyelo Kos Lamacha. So Tosfos gives a couple of suggestions. One is that Amemar knew that by tomorrow morning he was going to have a cup of wine. Meaning maybe this rule is a little bit flexible, and that if you are just simply delaying Havdalah because you know tomorrow morning you're going to have a cup of wine, so maybe then you can't eat before Havdalah. That's one possibility. Oh, machmer latzmo, haya. And over here, maybe a memer is just simply being machmer. Okay, so these are possibilities in terms of seeing the Gemara in Arvei Pesachim, seeing our Gemara over here. Okay. V'hachashani dekasavir berchus amazon tu nekos v'lakach menichol berchus amazon. And over here says, Tosfos, consider. Right now, you clearly are working with the principle that if you're going to bench, you have to bench over a cup of wine. And so now, I need to double dip. I have one cup of wine. I want to make Havdalah, and I want to eat, and I want to bench over a cup of wine, so therefore everything's going to get bundled together. So over here, because there is a positive value to eating, even though you haven't had Havdalah yet, so therefore the positive value of benching over a cup of wine is going to therefore determine that you can eat before having made Havdalah. Okay, so another basic issue about generally you're not allowed to eat before Havdalah, and meanwhile, our person over here is eating before having made Havdalah. Okay. Let's pick it up in the Gemara. We are halfway down on the Amud. Now, over here, Beis Shammai is assuming that you need a kos in order to bench. Now, the Gemara is going to push back on this idea, meaning Beis Hillel says you need to bench over a cup of wine. And so, therefore, for Beis Hillel, you totally understand that if I want to bundle, so then you can bundle. But does Beis Shammai really subscribe to this idea? The Gemara is going to try to make the case that Beis Shammai does not subscribe to that idea. And let's take a look. Let's say wine is brought to them after the meal. Now, hopefully this sounds familiar because we saw this in yesterday's Mishnah. Meaning in the Mishnah, in the long Mishnah that we did yesterday, in the Eight Machloksim that occurred between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So this now falls under number 8. The 8th debate that we saw yesterday. So after the meal is over, wine is brought to you. Im ein sham ela oso kos. Now this is your only cup of wine. What do you do? So Beis Shammai says, okay, good. So drink the cup of wine now. And then bench. Now, my lab de mevarchi lavei v'shasilei. So the Gemara says, now, what exactly happened over there? Meaning the Mishnah is not clear exactly. The Mishnah is clear that you're drinking the wine according to Beis Shammai before benching. But are you benching over this cup of wine? So the Gemara says, no. Lo, de mevarchi lavei manachlei. So the Gemara says, well, maybe here's what happened. I'm sorry. First, the Gemara suggests that according to Beis Shammai, you made a bracha on the wine and you drank the wine. That's it. The Gemara says, well, maybe no. Maybe you made the bracha on the wine and then you held off of it until after benching. So the Gemara says, you can't do that. What are you talking about? When you make a bracha of Bor Pei Gafen, so you got to drink it right away. And also, we can now remind ourselves of the Tosfos that we learned just moments earlier, which is that you can't just simply wait till after benching, because again, benching clears everything that you ate before. So that's not a possibility. So the Gemara says the timeline. So the Gemara says, okay, so right before benching, what you did is you're benching over this cup of wine, you made the Bari Prayer often beforehand, and then you had a little sip. The Gemara says, what? Vamar mar, tamo pagmo. Well, that can't be, because it's a kosher bracha. And if you have a little sip, you're going to now be pogam the cup. Now, literally, what the word means is that you're putting a dent in the cup. You're not physically putting a dent in the cup, But halachically, now you're denting the cup, meaning a kosher bracha should be proper, should be appropriate, and it should be a full cup of wine. And once you drink a little bit of it, so that's a pegima, and then what are you going to do? Now you're going to bench over that cup of wine? So the time lay biyadeh. So the Gemara says, well, you didn't drink from the cup of wine. What you did is you poured a little bit into your hand, and you drank from your hand. I know that sounds funny, but the Gemara now is suggesting maybe that in that way you're not pogame the cup. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second, it's a kosher bracha, you have to have the requisite amount. And we're only dealing with a person that has one cup. And now spilling a little bit off, so now it doesn't have the shear. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we're talking about a case where it has more than the shear. So the Gemara says, Vaim Ainsham Ella Oso Kosketani. That's not what the Braisa said. That's not what the Mishnah said. You only had one cup. So Trelohave Michad Nafish. So the Gemara says, well, you didn't have two cups, but in other words, it was more than just the requisite amount that you needed. It was a larger cup, which allows you now to pour a little bit off. V'atini Rabbi Chiya b'shamay omer mevarch alayan v'shoseu, v'achar kach mevarch birchas amazon. So the Gemara says, yeah, but in Rabbi Chiya's Braisa, it says really clearly that you're mevarch alayan v'shoseu, and then you drink it, and then afterwards you bench. According to Rabbi Chiya, clearly according to Beit Shammai, there's no need to bench over a cup of wine. El Trey Tanai, Valibet Beit Shammai, so the Gemara says, you're right. So there is a school of thought within Beit Shammai that you don't need a cup of wine to bench over. Fine. But there is a school of thought that according to Beit Shammai, you do need a cup of wine to bench over. And all the brises that we learned earlier about bundling Havdalah and Birchas HaMazon together, they're obviously subscribing to that school of thought within Beit Shammai, that you do need to bench over a cup of wine. It's true you can find me other Tanayim who have a different understanding of Beit Shammai. Okay, fine. There are two schools of thought within the Shita of Beit Shammai. Quickly recapping, just give me a second. Quickly recapping our first debate of this morning. So a really lengthy discussion in the Gemara, but when all said and done, so when it comes to Yain and Kiddush, a question of order, a question of what should come first. So Beit Shammai says first Kiddush, then Yain. Beis Hillel says no, first Yain, then Kiddush. We do passing like Beis Hillel. And then a lot of follow-up discussion with, in terms of a better understanding of Beit Shammai, his inconsistency between Kiddush and Avdallah. The Gemara explained that inconsistency. And then the question of whether or not Beit Shammai does require benching over a cup of wine. And the Gemara's response of two schools of thought.
But by Avdallah, you make for a prayer gofen, and you don't drink right away from the wine.
Yeah,
so why does the Gemara is only asking by Birchas HaMazon?
Because, again, going back to Tosfos' point, because you can.
Because what?
You can.
You
can't. In other words, by Havdalah, you're allowed to. In other words, you can make Havdalah over a cup of wine, first making the Bar Pirgafen, and then you know you're going to be drinking from the cup, and Havdalah does not deter you, does not take you away from the cup of wine. Birchas HaMazon does take you away from the cup of wine. That's the idea we saw in Tosfos. Okay. Beishami Omrim. Okay, and here we begin. Here we begin a Gemara that admittedly is going to be a little bit complex, and I'm going to be going over the Gemara with the assumption that you know a little bit about Tumat Tahara. Now, if you don't know about Tumat Tahara, so admittedly, it's going to be hard to hold on to this Gemara and to follow. In advance, I apologize, but we're just going to work with the assumption that you have a basic knowledge of Tumat Tahara. Let's begin. Before we start with the Tosefta, sorry, let's just go back in, let's just reset the second debate of the Mishnah. What should be the order? Should I first make Kiddush over a cup of wine, or should I first wash my hands? Now, let's not get a little bit confused, because there is a minug. It's an exciting minug. It's a German minug. It's a Yekke minug, which is that you wash your hands before you make Kiddush. Okay. Let's not get confused. Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel are not arguing whether or not they're subscribing to the Yekke minug or they're not. Okay, Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel live just a little bit before the German Jewish community. So what they're debating over here is not a question of minhagim, it's a question of halachic principles, and really it's going to all revolve around Tumat Tahara. Right? The Yekkes were not worried about Tumat Tahara. Okay? Whatever. In a post-Chorban Bayis Sheni, so Jews were in general not worried about Tumat Tahara. This is clearly all going to be about Tumat Tahara, and here's the issue. What do I do first? Do I first wash my hands and get rid of the tumah of my hands and then make Kiddush? Or do I first make Kiddush and then wash my hands? Now, what is going to be at the root of the issue over here? It's all going to be guided by principles of Tumah Tahara. That's it. It's the entire discussion debate revolves around how they view certain principles of Tumah Tahara. Now, to the principles of Tumah Tahara, everyone's in agreement. And you will see as we go through the Gemara over here what's really at the core of this issue. So Beis Shammai Omrim Nolni Adam V'Achakach Mosgen HaSakos. So according to Beis Shammai, we saw this yesterday, but now the Gemara is quoting a Braisa that is not only reintroducing us to the debate, but giving us voice to the various positions. So according to Beis Shammai, first you wash your hands, and then you make Kiddush. She'im Ata Omrim Mosgen HaSakos Tchila. Because let's just imagine now that first thing you do is you make Kiddush with your hands that haven't been washed. Now what's going to happen? So here's what's going to happen. What's going to happen is as follows. Your hands now are a sheni l'tumah. Okay, that is a general rule that standard hands are shniyim l'tumah. And so what's going to happen now is that your hands are going to be touching the cup of wine. Now, again, these are principles of tumah. Your hands are not going to be able to be metame the coast itself. Yadayim are not metame kalim. Yadayim are only going to be metame foods. Ochlin and mashkin. On top of that, if your hands were to come into contact with a mashke, with a liquid, so what happens with the liquid? Generally speaking, there's a downgrade of tumah, where tumah goes down a level. But when it comes to liquids, another gzeira derabanan, where the liquids jump up to becoming a rishon. For reasons which actually Rashi goes over here, I'm not going to go over right now. That's just simply the rule. So the liquid is now going to become a rishon. Now what happens is that the liquid, so your hands, which are shneim, remember, according to Beis Shammai, you didn't wash your hands. So, and your hands now are going to be touching the cup. There's going to be liquid on the exterior of the cup. That liquid now is going to become a rishon. That rishon liquid now is touching the cup. What's now the cup? The cup is now mid the rabbanan going to be tameh. Now, liquid that is a rishon l'tumah is not min haTorah, is not mitame Adam and not mitame Caleb. However, as a gzera de Rabbanan, liquids, tame liquids, are mitame Caleb. That's a din de Rabbanan. And so now what's happening is that your hands, which are shneim, which are touching the liquid, which is on exterior on the cup, which is now going to become a rishon, which is now touching the cup now is going to be a sheni. And here's at the core of Beit Shammai's issue. And that is, Beit Shammai objects to making kiddush over a cup that's tameh, albeit even though it's only tumah derabanan. That is Beit Shammai's position. Therefore, what's the resolution? Wash your hands before making kiddush. Okay. Washing your hands before making kiddush now removes the tumah from your hands. Now, machmas yadav yachzu v'yatam v'zakos v'litam yadayim l'kos. And now the Gemara just simply goes over the points that we already know, but the Gemara is now establishing them. Litami Yadam the coast, why isn't your hands being mitame the coast? Because Yadam Shneasin. Because Yadam only have the status of a shneim, vein shini osa shlisha bechulin, el ayideh mashkin. And just simply your hands which are shneim are not going to be mitame another kli. The only way that it works is through the conduit of a mashka. Okay, fine. That's the opinion of Beis Shammai. That's why he requires you to wash your hands before holding onto that cup of wine. Now, according to Beis Hillel, Mosgen HaSakos V'Achakach Notlin LiYadayim. So Beis Hillel says, no, first wash your hands. And I'm sorry, first, thank you. First make Kiddush, and then wash your hands. Shema Ta'omer Notlin LiYadayim Tchila, because what happens if you wash your hands first? Here's what's going to happen. So Gzereshem Yitam Mamashkim Shiba Yadayim Machma Sakos. Because now, at the core of Beis Hillel, let's just say this on the front end, so that everything will flow beautifully. At the core of Beis Hillel does not object to making Kiddush over a cup of wine that is in fact Tameh. So now what's going to happen is that the Tameh Kli, which you're using for Kiddush, which according to Beis Hillel you're allowed to, is now going to come into contact with liquid. What liquid? The liquid on your hands that you just washed with. Now what's going to happen is that the Kli is going to make the liquid Tameh, which in turn now is going to make your hands Tameh. Now, what happens with the washing that you did? Your hands may be clean, but they're not tahor. So, Zerusha mitama mashkin shibedayim machmas akos. V'yachzu v'yitama siyadayim. And now your hands are going to become tameh again. And the Gemara, again, just establishes some basic points. V'nid mekos liyadayim. Why isn't the kos being metame your hands? Because ain't kli metame adam. Because a kli is not metame adam. That's just simply not how tuma transmits. V'nid melamashin shebesocho. So the Gemara says, now, what about the mashka that's in the cup? So the Gemara says, hacha b'kli, shenid mo'achorav, b'mashka naskinan. So the Gemara says, no. We're talking about a kli that's only tame on the exterior, not on the interior. De'betocha tar v'gabo tame. And now, is it possible for a kli to become tame only on the exterior, not in the interior? And the answer is yes, rabbinically. Yes, rabbinically. Did not. The Gemara here reports the Mishnah and Kalim. The Mishnah and Kalim, kli shenidmo achor v'mashkem achor v'tameim, tocho v'ogna v'oznav yadav tahorim, nidma tocho nidma kulo. So, the Mishnah and Kalim tells us that when a kli comes into contact with a liquid, it depends whether it came into contact from an interior standpoint and exterior standpoint. If it came into contact from an interior standpoint, the whole kli is tameh. But if it only came into contact with mashkin from the exterior, so only the exterior is tameh, but not the interior is tameh. Why did the Chachamim do that? Rashi over here explains, because they wanted people to know that this is not a tumah d'araisa, this is only a tumah d'rabbanan. So to put in an oddity into the rules of tumah, so now everyone reminds themselves that this is not tumah d'araisa, this is only a tumah d'rabbanan. Anyway, when all said and done, so now, at the core, the Gemara is going to say this, but I just want to say it outside first. At the core of the issue over here between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, can I use a kos tameh for kiddush? Beis Shammai says no, and Beis Hillel says yes. Based on that, so now it evolves into the positions of, should I wash before handling the cup, or should I wash after having handled the cup? And the Gemara now is going to spell this out.
Why doesn't Beis Shammai have the same?
Let me first run through the Gemara, and then afterwards I will take the question. So b'may kamiflagi, what is the debate over here? Beis Shammai savri also lishtamish b'kli shenatmo achor b'mashkin. So here the Gemara spells it out. According to Beis Shammai, you're not allowed to use a kli that's tamei for kiddush. Gzerim mishum nitzotzos. Because what I'm concerned about is that there'll be some splattering. In other words, some of the liquid that's inside. Now remember, we're talking about a very specific case where only the exterior is tamei, not the interior. And so, but what may happen is, however, some of the liquid from the interior is going to spill over to the exterior and become tameh. And there's no concern that the liquid is going to be metameh that which is on the inside. Meaning your hands are not going to be metameh the liquid because your hands have been cleaned beforehand. So and according to Beis Hillel, no problem. Meaning at the core of his issue is you're allowed to use a kli tame. Now let me qualify. You're allowed to use a kli tame where only the exterior is tame, but you're allowed to use such a kli for kiddush. And as far as the drops splattering from the interior to the exterior, it's something which is not shchiach, and therefore he's not concerned with that. And now what? If you were to wash your hands before handling the cup, now remember, the exterior of the cup is tameh. There, you may have washed your hands and not dried it properly. Your hands now have droplets of liquid on them. The moment that your hand now touches the cup, so the exterior of the cup now is metameh, the liquid on your hand, which, by the way, immediately goes up to becoming a rishon, and now your hands become a sheni, and you are back to square one. Meaning so that the washing that you did didn't serve you at all. That is the debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, as I pointed out, and now the Gemara clearly articulates it. It is all a function of Tumah Tahara. And just adding one more point, Davar Acher, take all the Tilas Yadayim Seuda. And also, on top of everything, there is also a Hilcha Seuda issue to take into consideration. Aside from the Tumah Tahara, also the meal should come immediately after you wash your hands. You wash your hands, and you should have the meal, and they should be contiguous to one another.
But now, doesn't Beis Shammai have the same concern as Beis Hillel? Your hands will not be just, you know, when he washes his hands, they're going to be a little wet. The same concern.
Because again, go back to the core of the debate. Beis Shammai is not having a kli that's tummy. You're not making kiddush over a kli tummy. Beis Hillel is allowing it. So now, Beis Shammai, your hands are never going to become tummy because the kli is never tummy. Okay. My davar acher, as far as the additional point, why did Beis Hillel have to add that? meaning as far as the halachas of Tumah Tahara, that was sufficient to explain the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says, "My davar acher hachi kamer lehu Beis Hillel Beis Shammai lidichud amri so asel shamish bekli shacharav tamein de gazirna mishim nitzotzos." Look, even if I were to follow you down your path, even if I were, I still think my position's better. Because aside from the Tumah Tahara issues, there's also a Seuda issue that you should be eating immediately after you wash your hands. Okay. In terms of the Ekumenug, for another time. In terms of, right? I've been there also. I really enjoy it. But anyway, for another time to explain the minhag yaki. But it's really not, it is not at all associated with our Gemara. Okay, that was a mouthful. Let's go over another mouthful. We are now up to, go back to the Mishnah. And now we can record now. We just went over the first machlokas of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel and the second machlokas of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And now we're up to number three. And the third machlokas in the Mishnah between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is mikaneach yadav b'mapa. You wipe your hands now on some sort of shmata. Uminicha ala shochan. And now where do I put the shmata? So according to Beis Shammai, I put it on the table. Beis Hillel omrim ala keses. And Beis Hillel says, no, put it on the pillow. On your little couch. And so, once again, what's the issue over here? And once again, it's all going to revolve around Tumah Tahara. Beis Shammai omrim mekaneach, Tanur Rabban in the Gemara quotes the Tosefta. Beis Shammai omrim mekaneach yadav b'mapa u'menicha al ha'shulchan. Beis Shammai says, take the shmata and put it on the table. Shim omer al ha'keses, because what's going to happen if I put it on the pillow? Gzer shemitam u'mashkim she'b'mapa machmas ha'keses. So what's going to happen is as follows, is that there's going to be some liquid left on the shmata, meaning we're assuming that you just dried your hands with that mapa, and so therefore there's still going to be droplets of liquid. Now what happens when it comes into contact with the keses? Let's assume now that the keses is tameh, thereby making the mapa also now going to be tameh through the medium of the liquid. Because again, remember, every time liquid becomes tameh, not only does it become tameh, but it shoots up to becoming a rishon. Now what happens when you go ahead and handle that mapa again? Your hands are now going to be a sheni latuma. And your hands now are going to become a sheni latuma. And remember, when you went into the meal, you washed your hands before the meal in order to remove the sheni status from your hand. But by now taking the mapa and putting it down on the kesis and through the medium of the liquid, so now when you touch that mapa again, your hands are going to become tameh again.
Isn't the liquid absorbed by the mouth?
The Gemara is not assuming that. Meaning, I hear you, but the Gemara is not assuming that. Vinit me'e kesos amapa. So the Gemara, again, just establishes some basic principles. The Gemara's Q&A over here is just so that we understand Hilchos Tumah Tahara a little bit better. Just the basic rules. Why isn't the keses by itself going to be metame the mapa without the medium of liquid? The Gemara says, inkli metame kli. Because of the rule. That's not how transmission of Tumah works. One kli is not directly going to be metame another kli. Now, mind you, by the way, the rule over here, the Gemara says it really clearly. It is really clear. Just, again, if you know basic operating principles of Tumah Tahara, if one kli is an Ava Tumah, so then a kli is in fact going to be metame another kli. But generally speaking, a kli is not an Ava Tumah. Generally, a kli is a Rishon Tumah, and a kli is not metame another kli. Fine. Vinitma kesas legavra gufa. Why not the keses being mitame the gavra, meaning you're sitting on the couch? Why isn't that transmission of tuma? And again, enkli mitame adam. Again, basic principles of tuma tahara. That's not how transmission of tuma works. You do not become tame by sitting on the keses. But what's going to happen, however, is that by the mapa now touching the keses through the medium of the liquid, now the keses now is going to be tame. And you handling it, you're going to be tameh. Your hands are going to be tameh. And again, your washing now has been totally negated. That's all Beis Shammai. What's Beis Hillel? Beis Hillel omrim ala kesses. No. Beis Hillel says, take the mapa, don't put it on the table. Put it on the kesses. Why? Shema tomer ala shochan. Because according to Beis Hillel, what happens if I put it on the table? Zer shemitam u'mashkim shebemapa machmas ha'shochan. Because what's going to happen? The shochan's tameh. Can the shulchan become tameh? Sure can. In other words, the shulchan's the kli. And any kli can become tameh. And according to Beis Hillel, you're allowed to use a tameh shulchan. And I'll say it now, even though the Gemara is going to say it in just a couple of moments from now. Meaning, what's at the core of the debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? Usage of a tameh shulchan. Beis Shammai forbids you from using a Tami Shochan, and Beis Hillel allows it. Once we know these positions, so now it's going to inform us about the debate. So now Beis Hillel is telling you, don't put it on the table. Why? Because we know that the table can be a Shein L'tumma. Now what's going to happen? Now we know what's going to happen. The Gemara spells it out. So V'yachsu V'yitama Sa'ochlin. So the Gemara says what's going to happen now is that when you put the mappa on the table, again through the medium of the liquid, what's going to happen is that the Sheni table is going to make the liquid a Rishon. The Rishon liquid now, when touching any of the food on the table, is going to make the food on the table Tameh. The Gemara says, L'tamei shulchan la'ochlin shebesocho. So the Gemara says, why isn't that directly happening from the table to the food? So hach b'shulchan sheni askinan. So the Gemara says, well, the table in question over here is the sheni. Ein sheni osu shishe b'chulin el al yedei mashkin. Without the medium of liquid, the tumma does not transmit. B'maika miflagi, what is the debate over here? B'shamei savri asa l'shamish b'shulchan sheni gzera mishum ochle truma. And now the Gemara here spells it out. According to B'shamei, you're not allowed to use a table that's a Shein L'tumma. Why? Because even though you and I eating our chulin food on the table does not affect our food at all, but what could happen, however, is the Kohen could be joining us at this table. He's eating his truma. Truma has more kedusha, has more sensitivity to tumma, and that truma now put down on the table, directly on the table, is now going to become pasul. So for fear, for concern that this table will affect the truma of a Kohen, so Beis Shammai has now a blanket rule that nobody is allowed to use a sheni table, a table which is a sheni l'tumah. Ubeis Hillel savri motali shamish b'shochan sheni ochle trumas rizimheim. And Beis Hillel says, no. What are you worried about? The Kohanim? Kohanim can take care of themselves. In general, they're more zaris, they're more careful, and they're not going to put their truma down on this table. Dava acher ein etil siyadam l'chulim min haTorah. And on top of that, Beis Hillel also wants to bolster his argument that what are we talking about? The idea that you're washing your hands for chulin, that is not a din d'oraisa, that's a din d'rabanan. Meaning the entire institution of washing your hands to eat chulin. Now, before we speak insensitively about it, first let's sensitize ourselves to it. It's a din d'rabanan. We're going to wash our hands before we eat chulin, right? It's a rabbinic institution. Now with that stated, and now framed properly, it's only a rabbinic institution. It's only a rabbinic institution. And so therefore, when you're worried about concerns, I wouldn't worry about the concern about netilas yadayim. Meaning, what is Beis Hillel saying to Beis Shammai? So I'm telling you now, take them up and put on the kesses. Oh, what's going to happen? Let's remember. If it's on the kesses is now going to come into contact with the liquid on the mappa, which then is going to be touching your hand when you reuse the mappa. And now your hands are not going to be properly washed. Okay, I hear you as a concern, but that's a concern about netilas yadayim. And even if your hands do become shneim again, and you eat the food, okay, netilas yadayim for chulin is a din d'rabanan. So Beis Hillel says, of the two concerns, I'm much more concerned about food on the table becoming tameh than I am about your hands becoming tameh. Okay, so my davar achir in the Gemara, again, wants to know. Beis Hillel gave us a second argument. So hachi kamer le Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, because here's now the further dialogue between Beis Hillel to Beis Shammai. V'chi temer, because maybe you'll say, Maishna gabi ochlin dechayshinan, Maishna gabi yadayim delo chayshinan. Why are you worried about the food? Why are you not worried about the hands? Afil hachi adifa dein netilas yadayim l'chulam in haTorah, mutav shiitamu yadayim delethlu ikar midaraisa. Look, your hands becoming tamei, that doesn't have ikar midaraisa. That's a rabbinic institution. And again, we have to balance. On one hand, obviously, we're sensitive to the rabbinic institution. On the other hand, acknowledging that it's just a rabbinic institution. So, v'ayutamu ochlin disleikar medaraisa. But food becoming tameh, that's a din daraisa. It's rooted in a din daraisa. So, therefore, Beis Hillel says that my concerns are going to be much more towards the food than they are going to be towards your hands. Okay. So, once again, a debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in terms of where to put the mappa after you dried your hands on it. Should you put it on the cushion which you're sitting on, or should you put it on the table? Debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and what's at the core of the debate? Am I allowed to use a table that says Sheni L'tumma? Beis Shammai says you're not, and so therefore no problem putting it on the table because the table's tahor, and so therefore the liquid is going to be totally unaffected. Whereas according to Beis Hillel, you're allowed to use a Sheni L'tumma. What about the Kohanim? Don't worry about the Kohanim; they're fine. So you're allowed to use a tummy, which is you're allowed to use a table which is tameh. And so therefore, of the question of now where to put the mappa, don't put it on the table, because you put on the table, the droplets on the mapa are going to become now rishon and are going to be metame, all the food on the table. Masha'en can put on the keses. And yes, it's true, your hands may become tame once again, but that's a rabbinic institution, not rooted in a din d'oraisa. That will give more than putting it back on the table. Okay. I know we just went through a lot of information, and I know I went through it quickly. I apologize, but I'm committed to finishing the daf. Okay. Beishame Omer Mechabden. We are now up to the fourth machlokis of the Mishnah between Beishame and Beisilo. Look back at the Mishnah. Beishame Omer Mechabden Mesabayis V'Archa Kach Notli Yadayim. So sweep first, and then Mayim Achronim. Beisilo Omerim Notli Yadayim. No. Beisilo says first you'll do Mayim Achronim, and afterwards Mechabden Mesabayim sweep, then afterwards. Okay, what's that issue over here? Tanu Rabbanan. And once again, we get a Tosefta. Right, you see, the Tosefta really is a supplemental, meaning you have the Mishnah. The Mishnah just gives us the facts. It's the Tosefta which is now giving us a little bit more behind the scenes and helping us understand a little bit better. So according to Beishamai, first sweep and then do my machronim. Shima ta'omer only adaim tchila. Because what if you do my machronim first? Nimsa ata mafsid esa ochlin. What's going to now happen is that your hands are wet. And now, when the Gemara says sweep, sorry, I wasn't clear about this earlier. The Gemara does not mean take out the broom. The Gemara just simply means the table. In other words, moving the crumbs to the side. And now with your hands filled with Mayim Achronim on them, now what's going to happen is that you're going to get soggy bread. Soggy crumbs of bread. Now the next line of Gemara, we are going to skip as per the instructions of the Bach. So, Mafsid Esa Ochlin. So according to Beis Shammai, what's his concern? You're going to get soggy crumbs of bread. And that's the hefset. And now by skipping a line, Ubeisil omrim, im shamash tamachachem hu noto perurim sheish bem kezayis, umeiniach perurim sheim bem kezayis. And so according to Beis Hillel, you're shamash, you're attendant, so he's knowledgeable. And here's what he's going to do. Any crumb that's bigger than a kezayis, he's going to take off the table and save it for another occasion. And so what's left on the table? Crumbs that are less than a kezayis. And they're going to get a little soggy, and so what? These are negligible. Misayil of the Rav Yochanan, the Gemara says, now this is a really good support for Rav Yochanan. Dam Rav Yochanan, perurim sheim bem kezayis, mutar lav dam yad. If there are crumbs that are less than a kezayis, you're allowed to be ma'abed them. You can destroy them. There's no issue about tashkis with crumbs that are less than a kezayis. Bemaika miflagi, now, what's at the root of the debate between Beisham and Beisilo? Again, what's the underlying principles? Beisilo Amrim Savri Asli Shamish B'Shamish Amaretz. Who is your attendant going to be? According to Beisilo, he can't be an Amaretz. Meaning he's going to know that when the meal's over and there are sizable pieces of bread on the table, he's going to know they need to be collected. And he's not going to be an uninformed person. Now, according to Beis Shammai, you're allowed to use a shamash who's an amaretz. So therefore, he's not going to be sensitive to this, and therefore, you're going to be left with crumbs on the table that are larger than kezayis. You're going to need to take care of it. If you do the mayim achronim first, you're going to make them soggy, and you're going to destroy them. Amrav Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Amrav Huna, Bekuli Pirkan, Halacha Kebeis Hillel, Bar Mehad, Halacha Kebeis Shammai. Now, throughout our perek, there are 8 disputes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So 7 out of 8 we follow like Beis Hillel. Now that's pretty good statistics. Now on this issue we follow like Beis Shammai. Rabbi Yoshia Masni Ibcha Vahanami Halacha Beis Hillel. Rabbi Yoshia says that we're actually going to go 8 for 8 with Beis Hillel. Meaning here the halacha is that you're allowed to use a shamish ama aretz. So isn't that the shita Beis Shammai? Not according to Rabbi Yoshia. In Rabbi Yoshia's version of the debate, the shitas get flipped. So this is really Beis Hillel's viewpoint. And so therefore, the halacha is going to fall like Beis Hillel in Rav Oshia's version. It halachically comes out to the same. It's just a question of who's saying it. Is it Beis Shammai or is it Beis Hillel? And let's do number 5.
Rabbi, but I thought the whole point was they brought these little tables. So why don't they just take the tables away?
Yeah, they do. But they also require, even the small tables require cleaning.
Let's table
the discussion. I can't begin to tell you how happy I am with my pun. It was magnificent, and because I'm looking at the time right now, and then come to me later. Beishami Omrim Neru Mazon. Okay, Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Ikla LeBei Rava. So Rav Huna goes to the house of Rava. Chazya LeRava DeBaruchah B'Samim Bereisha. And so now his Havdalah. We're just standard Havdalah. We're just looking at it right now, a standard Havdalah. And first he made the Baruch HaBesamim. So Amalei Mechti Bishama Bisolol Ama Or Lo Pligi. Now he says, what are you doing? Bisham and Bisol are not arguing about Maor Detanya. We learned in our, now really should be Detnan. This is our Mishnah. Bisham are Omim near Mazon Bisham of Avdallah. Now don't get caught up in the Mazon because it's Birchas a Mazon, and we're talking. Our Mishnah is talking about where everything got bundled together. Anyway, just look at right now the placement of near and Bisamim. So what came first? First near, then Bisamim, and then Avdallah. Ubeisilah Omim near Bisamim Mazon Avdallah. Now, and according to Beis Hillel, first near, then Bisamim, then Mazon Avdallah. In our Mishnah's presentation of the debate, it's first near and then Bisamim. What are you doing? You're making the bracha Bisamim first? What's wrong? What's wrong with you? So Ani Rava Basrei Zu Devrei B'Meir. So Rava says, okay, but let's remember what we said earlier this morning. There are two later Tanayim who are debating what exactly was the debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So Zu Devrei Meir Aval Rav Yehuda Omer Lo Nechluku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel Mazon Shu B'Tchila. But in the Rav Yehuda version of the debate, which parenthetically in the Amud Aleph of today's Gemara, we favored, we're going to favor it again. We're going to favor Rav Yehuda's version of the debate, which is, first things first, Berchaz HaMazon number one. Last thing, everyone is in agreement, Havdalah at the end. And remember, what we said earlier this morning, we want to push off Havdalah as late as possible. Fine. And Alma Nechluku, Al HaMa'or V'Al HaBisamim. The debate over here is going to be Ma'or Bisamim. According to Beis Shammai, it's going to first be Ma'or, then by Bisamim, and then highlight this next line. And according to Beis Hillel, first Bisamim, then Ma'or. And Rav Yochanan says, that's Minaga Olam. Minaga Olam is to make Bisamim, followed then by Ma'or. At the Havdalah, what Rav Huna did is correct. Rav Yochanan supports it as well. This follows the version of the Rav Yehuda version of the debate, and obviously we follow like Beis Hillel, so therefore it's going to be Bisamim, then followed by Ma'or. What's so interesting from the Gemara over here is the Gemara is adamant about what's the order, what's the position. The Gemara never explains why, meaning why is the Bisamim before the Ma'or? Okay, that requires an explanation. Perhaps tomorrow morning I'll start off with providing a suggestion in terms of why that should be. But anyway, that's the debate. Let's just quickly recap our morning. A lot of information this morning. Wow. First, we went through, over the course of this morning, five debates between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, five of the eight, leaving ourselves for tomorrow, only with three more to go. Of the five debates of the Mishnah, we discussed first by Kiddush. What is it? Wine or Kiddush? Or Kiddush then wine? Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. And we went over that this morning with then a lot of follow-up discussion. The Amud Aleph of today's Gemara was just follow-up questions, really mostly in Beit Shammai, which again, just another example of the Gemara spending a lot of precious real estate discussing the opinion of Beit Shammai, even though obviously it's not an accepted position. Here, by the way, just if I could just tease out one more point of today, here's an excellent example of why it's so important to go over a shita that's not accepted. Because in doing so, the Gemara also articulated a principle of we want Shabbos to come as early as possible. We want Shabbos to exit as late as possible. And even though we said this in explaining Beis Shammai, the principle is a correct principle, even though our Gemara used it in explaining Beis Shammai. Okay, that was number one. Number two, the washing your hands versus holding the cup of wine and making Kiddush over the cup of wine. What should be done first? And Machlokes Bishu Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And what is that? A very detailed discussion within the rules of Tumah Tahara in terms of what's going to happen if I touch a cup of wine either before I wash my hands or after I wash my hands. And again, the issue becomes, can the cup to begin with be a Tamei cup? That's really at the core of the issue. And then the positions then follow through with that. Our third debate is whether or not what do you do with the mappa after you dry your hands? Do you put it on the cushion that you're sitting on, or do you put it on the table? That too is a machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. And again, at the core of the debate is whether or not the table that we're using can be a tamei table. Beis Shammai says yes. Beis Shammai says no, it can't. Beis Hillel says yes, it can. And that's going to inform us regarding whether or not the mappa should be going on the kesis or on the table. The fourth debate between them is: do my machronim and then sweep up the crumbs off the table, or the opposite? And over here, the issue is the shamish. Does the shamish knowledgeable and not knowledgeable? And Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are arguing over that point. And finally, number five. The fifth debate that we saw today is what is the correct sequencing in Havdalah? Is it Bisamim followed by Ma'or, or Ma'or followed by Bisamim? a debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, a subsequent debate between Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir, how the debate of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel presents itself, and the Gemara's conclusion that we're going to go with Rav Yehuda's version of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and so therefore it's going to be Besamim Moor, and that's going to be the Minag Yisrael.